So yay for being trapped in rooms, but with unlimited streaming, I guess, is my thesis statement for 2020 and 2021. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens. I hate to do it. I absolutely hate to do it.
What are you going to do?
The hate.
Jeff, we got to talk about birds.
Oh, come on. Again?
We got to fucking talk about birds, man.
All right.
I'm sorry.
You hate to do it.
I hate to do it. I hate to give them attention because that's what they want.
That's all they want. That's what they crave.
That's
birds. Their little, look at me. Look at me. Look up here. Look up here.
Look at this fun. Look at this fun, funny shit that I'm doing. I'm a bird. Yeah.
I'm a bird. Look at me fly majestically in the sky. Don't you wish you could? Don't you crane your neck up to look at me soaring above you as I laugh?
And then on top of it, not only do they rub our noses in their magical superpowers, but they're also horrible, horrible pranksters.
Oh, don't get me started on the pranks.
Ugh, the pranks.
You ever seen a bird and a bagged lunch? They'll just take that right out of your hand, that bird.
They will
snatch your bag lunch like a bully at a schoolyard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they will. I've seen birds gang up on a lady.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen birds straight up gang up on a lady.
Oh, yeah. If one bird can't do it, 15 will. You know what I'm saying?
I saw a bird once snatch a hot dog from a dude. I saw a bird once just be in a lady's hair. Have you ever seen that?
I've seen a bird enter your garage and not leave. Like, it knows how to leave. It got in there. Why isn't it leaving?
I've seen a bird in the airport, and like that bird is just fucking with people.
Oh yeah.
That bird will just pull up a seat next to you.
They know that you're getting on a plane because you can't fly, and they can.
They flip. They come on in, and they're just like, oh, "Sorry, I didn't get clearance."
Classic bird.
I didn't even have to go through security.
I hate a bird. Fucking birds. I hate a bird.
Well, the problem with pranks is, number one, they're not funny. You're not funny, birds.
Yeah, bird.
You're not funny, George Clooney. Okay.
Yeah.
Pranks aren't funny. Everybody's
you're
just
saying even human pranks aren't funny is what you're saying?
No, because here's what's up. George Clooney, that irascible prankster.
Oh, he's a scamp.
Everybody's like, oh, what a scamp he is. What a lovable scamp. They're always talking about the pranks that he pulled.
Oh, yeah.
They have to. He's a wealthy and powerful man. They're not allowed to say, hey, George, that was fucked up.
You're saying that he's basically Big Prank is what he is.
He is.
You can't fight Big Prank.
Of Big Prank.
Yeah.
He needs to check his prank privilege.
Check your prank privilege, Clooney.
It's easy. It's just as easy to do as it is to say, George. Check your prank privilege.
Clooney. Clooney, if you're listening, and I know you are.
Yeah.
Check that prank privilege, buddy.
Get over yourself. Well, the problem with pranks is that because they're jerk behavior, they are a gateway behavior to much more devastating things, Jeff.
You start with pranks and you end up on a multi-state crime spree, is what you're saying.
I'm not saying that George Clooney could pay anybody to get rid of a body. And I'm not saying that once you get wealthy enough, maybe the only thing that makes you feel alive is taking the life of somebody else. I'm not saying that because I don't
know. Getting away with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just watching the light go out in another person's eyes. I don't know.
But you're not insinuating that.
I would never insinuate that, especially about irascible prankster George Clooney. But imagine, just thought experiment with me, Jeff.
Sure, of course.
You've been wealthy enough for the last 20 years to do literally everything that's ever been on your list to do. What do you do now?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do now?
Well, I think you hunt the most dangerous game.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
The Dark Souls game from Kickstarter. The board game, the one that's sold out everywhere.
Most dangerous game.
The most dangerous game. Nobody gets out of that one. Or something that's a little easier to hunt down. Man.
Yeah. Man? Oh yeah. 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 I think there's two things that I would do. The first is I would hunt and kill another human being just to watch them die.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I would do probably is that I would direct Leatherheads.
Yeah. If I was going to do two things, I would direct.
I mean,
the
if I've done everything, I've done everything there is to do. I have more money than I know what to do with. I've lived a life.
I did everything, including having a pig as a pet in the middle of a city center.
Yeah.
What else do I do now? Nothing. Only murder.
I starred in not one, but two different shows called ER.
Yeah. How many numbers can you put after Oceans?
At a certain point,
what did they get to? Becomes, Oceans 17? I feel like they got to Oceans. They got to Oceans 21, and I was like, "Whoa, yeah. that's a lot of heists." Nobody sees this guy coming. Nobody recognizes any of these guys. Okay,
yeah,
all right. So obviously, being a prankster and being a successful prankster can only lead you down the path to criminal behavior. Dateline, Anchorage, Alaska.
Uh-oh. Birds love Alaska.
Birds fucking love Alaska. What's there? Sky. Mountain.
Yeah. Not much else.
Wood?
I think there's some wood. Tree? Wood,
tree, but also...
Birds love a tree.
Look it up. Where do most criminals, people with criminal pasts, go?
They flee.
To get jobs off the book.
That's right. You go to Alaska, you blend in. You work on a fishing boat.
That's what you do.
You blend in. Yeah.
Like a criminal or a Superman, according to Zack Snyder.
Exactly.
How long was he doing that? When did he get his journalism degree? We don't know.
Doesn't matter. Don't think about that part.
What is time? It doesn't matter. What is time? Sit down. It's only 4 hours.
You made a black suit now this time.
Look. Here's the thing. The people of Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah.
They're just trying to live their lives. Some of them, good, honest folks. Not everyone there is a criminal. That's just math. Not everyone there can be a criminal.
It's not Australia where everyone's a criminal.
No. So, you know, people are living their lives, trying to be normal American families, heading to the Costco.
Oh.
You've got kids. You love a Costco, right?
I love a Costco. You love your bulk. I bet in Anchorage, you're all into that bulk because you just got room for days, right? I imagine everywhere in Alaska, you can just store all the toilet paper you need.
What age do you think you're at when you get the second refrigerator in the garage? Do you feel like you're there?
I can tell you the age that I was at, which was like 2 years ago.
Okay.
Okay. I have the second refrigerator in the garage right now.
The second refrigerator in the garage is a very, I don't know. You know how some people are scared of marriage because they feel like marriage is a stepping stone till death. After marriage, what do you do? You know, like,
right. Sure.
It's too frightening. It's too big a thing. Forever is too big to think about. I think of one of those signposts of the end. I think of it as the second fridge. The second fridge really feels to me like you're settling in and just waiting.
Because you want to go to the grocery store less frequently?
I just can't imagine. What do you need? What do you put in all that fridge?
Oh, Anthony, allow me to educate you.
I don't know.
The second fridge is a godsend. By the way, marriage is a stepping stone to the second fridge. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know if you've seen a fridge lately, but
I don't mean to brag, but I have a refrigerator.
Well, you know,
I don't mean to brag.
Humble brag,
but
humble
I will
brag. The freezer space, not as large as one would like.
Okay.
And when
what
one
are you doing, ice
wants more
ice sculptures?
Well, sure.
What's filling up the fridge?
But also iced cream. Mm-hmm. There are frozen mozzarella sticks that you can only buy in bulk.
Sure.
You know?
those are best stored in a pyramid.
You got to stack
them as large a pyramid as possible.
Flavor.
Which unfortunately
works.
it eats up a lot of space.
Yeah.
Because you can't use any of that. You can't use any of that side space.
That's why you need the second fridge.
That's why you need the second fridge. But I think in Anchorage, the world is probably your fridge.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Now, all of a sudden, I want to move to Anchorage. Do you think if people in Anchorage just put their mozzarella sticks in the backyard in the pyramid?
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah, they do.
God, that sounds like a dream locale.
Let me tell you, when I was living in New York in the cold seasons, you would definitely throw an extra 12 pack out on the fire escape.
If there 12 was no pack room, of mozzarella sticks.
A 12 pack of mozzarella sticks, absolutely.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And they were, of course, stacked, you know, like 4 or 3, you know?
Gotcha, yeah.
You can only do that if you lived on a higher floor, though. Otherwise, people would come by. Roving bands of people would come by, steal your mozzarella sticks.
Oh, you don't want that.
That's one of the dangers of living in New York City that they warn you about. But if you're buying in bulk, and especially if you're buying frozen in bulk in South Anchorage, Alaska, you would head to the Costco. I'd like to tell you the story of Marnie Jones. Marnie Jones and her husband went to the South Anchorage Costco, hopefully on sample day. Hopefully you're timing it for sample day. What is that, Wednesdays?
Can you please tell me that her husband's name is Marnie?
Marnie and Barney? I can't tell you that. I don't know what her husband's name is, but I'll tell you that.
Marnie and Barney Jones.
Yeah. Well, Marnie and Barney, they head to the South Anchorage Costco.
Yeah. Hopefully it's sample day.
They make it home and they realize, oh no, we've been robbed.
What did they take?
They'd bought a 4-pack. You know how every once in a while Costco has the 4-pack of the very nice filet mignon.
Oh, the filet mignon.
They got that.
Is this
filet.
like the vacuum sealed filet mignon?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That good filet, not the frozen, but it's that one that they have every once in a while. So they had bought it. It was in the cart. They were, you know, they were just pushing it. They loaded up the They loaded up the car. They get home and they realize they're a steak short.
One steak short?
One steak short of the 4-pack.
Three steaks.
How does that happen? An odd number of steaks. It clicked. Marnie says, oh my God. After I packed up that package of steaks, I saw a raven in the parking lot with a steak in his mouth.
It took her that long to put those two data points together.
Well,
Marnie?
She was putting her stuff away.
Yeah.
She steak thought she mouth, had though. Hers. And then she turns around, bird with a whole steak in its mouth. Now, I would, if I was in a parking lot and I saw a bird with a whole steak in its mouth, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just easily amused, Jeffrey, but if I saw a bird with an entire steak in its mouth, I'd be like, holy shit, dog.
Yeah,
check out that bird. That bird's gnawing on a whole steak.
You mentioned it. Now, Anthony, you say that, but you have to admit you've never lived in Anchorage, Alaska. Perhaps much more common occurrence up there in the old Alaskan wilds.
I bet hawks are tearing venison apart. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm sure there's ample meat to be had. Birds could probably just pick up flank steaks.
Ancient elks who are the kings of the forest with many pointed antlers that have the respect of many a wildlife creature probably just runs through willy-nilly, probably is allowed, much like the fabled markets of India, to simply go into whatever store the elk wants to and take one thing as tribute every day.
I think that's the rule. Up in Anchorage.
That's the rule up in Anchorage. There are very few rules there, but that's one of them. One of them, I would imagine, is respect nature and don't be surprised when nature is tearing apart nature.
Yeah. That's just how it's supposed to go in nature.
Yeah. Also, buy yourself one of those masks so you can sleep, because there are long days in the winter or in the summer.
Oh, yeah. The sun doesn't go down.
Yeah, the sun doesn't go down. Respect nature.
So
do not be surprised when nature is tearing nature apart. Get yourself a thick mask.
Those are the three rules of Anchorage.
Those are the three rules.
So Marnie turns to Barney, or she doesn't turn to Barney. Marnie just notices the raven with the steak in its mouth. Mm. Quoth the raven, Worcestershire. No? You didn't like that one? It kind of sounds like Nevermore, right? Worcestershire?
No, I get it.
Maybe that.
What if you kept drawing attention to it?
If at first you don't succeed, you know, keep poking at it. That's
keep
what I say.
Poking at it. Now, look. You lose a stake. There's a raven with a stake. That's circumstantial evidence. You know what I mean?
It's true. That doesn't hold up in the court of law.
That doesn't hold
up. Or in this case, the court of caw.
You gonna poke at that one too? Probably. So you can't really look. You can't really say that that bird's a thief. Maybe that bird just enjoys a good quality cut of meat. Maybe that bird's got a Costco membership. You didn't ask.
You don't know. You maybe just purchased that steak legitimately.
Maybe that bird is like, look, I come for the pizza and the hot dogs. That's what I come for. It's cheap.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, I stock up on what are birds like? Mayonnaise. I don't know. So
mayonnaise, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, birds are super into mayonnaise.
Yeah.
So this is just one isolated incident, except Jeff. Olani Sanoa was finishing a shopping trip there, buckling her baby into a car seat.
Oh no. The baby had a steak in its mouth.
No. No, Jeff. You can't give a full raw steak to a baby. You're a bad parent. Oh, God,
I appreciate you reminding me that frequently.
Yeah, you can't do it. Jeff, she goes to buckle the kid into the car seat. And the moment her back turns, two ravens swoop down and take an entire package of short ribs together.
Whoa. One half of... like a full rack of ribs?
They took a full rack of ribs together.
They teamed up. They waited until the baby distracted the lady.
Oceans
and then they...
two, baby.
Oceans two. It takes two birds. One bird turns to the other and says, you're either in or you're out right now. And that bird said,
one bird's constantly eating.
Are we going to need one more? I think we need one more. Let's get one more. He said to himself, being the only one present.
He's like, I'm definitely going to need at least one more. And that's how birds started flocks.
That's to do they their wanted heists. The ribs. Yeah. For their heists.
To do their heists. So
you're saying so if I can predict where this story is going, you're saying these birds are staking out the Costco for large packaged meats.
Matt Llewellyn is loading all of his purchases into his car.
Uh-huh.
A single short rib is gone. He turns to see an entire short rib in the mouth of a bird. I would have to imagine hanging like a cool loose cigarette.
It's like that Chris Rock bit. How much for one rib?
How much for just one rib? He gets home and he noticed the ravens had pecked one of the other ribs. Buddy, this is happening. They're taking steaks. They're taking ribs. They're taking veal chops. They're taking it all.
These birds love barbecue.
These birds want to barbecue. Jeff, it's getting out of hand.
Is the Costco taking some action against the meat-loving birds?
Unfortunately, the Costco manager declined to comment on the parking lot raven theft issue. The cowards.
Classic
bureaucracy.
Costco manager. Cowardice from Costco.
Turning
Costco cowardice.
A blind eye. But an Anchorage area wildlife biologist, Rick Sinnott, said hundreds of ravens fly to Anchorage from all over the state in the winter for food. When spring comes, they leave. The raven population, because Anchorage, you think about Alaska, you've got Juneau, you've got Anchorage, you've got, and here's where I make my point, a bunch of other places, I guess, maybe. The thing is, there aren't a lot of high density population centers in Alaska. So when winter happens and these birds are trying to get their hands on food,
they got to go to Costco.
They have to go to Costco. There's only one good Costco and it's in South Anchorage. So,
as
the Anchorage population has been rising, Jeff, so has the winter raven population, almost proportionally.
Has anybody alerted the Sam's Club?
I mean, are there still Sam's Clubs?
I don't know.
Does that still happen? The Anchorage Audubon Society, Jeff, counts birds every December. In 2018, there were 523 common ravens in Anchorage. 623 in 2019. 750 in 2020.
Can we talk about the people who count the birds?
Please. There are people that I respect for doing that. We talked about this with the blue food dye people. There are people that I respect for doing the most mind-numbing shit in the name of science. And I think
I don't even know how
people,
you do that. How do you do? I don't think that they're not marking them or tracking them in any way. They're just identifying them based on visual cues. There's plumage that they're able to identify. How do they even fucking do that?
So, in a place like Anchorage, or you know, in most populated places, what they do is they go to, you know, they're getting their best idea for the count. From what I've read, it's a mix of, you know, a few birds in a population are tagged, you know, sometimes, but it's basically like going to city center where these birds congregate and letting a camera run all day, taking exposures and seeing, you know, how many seem to be, because, you know, a flock will try to stay around one general location. And so they will look at multiple exposures throughout the day and try to figure out what the number of birds is or whatever number of animal is to the closest they can estimate. I don't know if that's exactly what Anchorage does, but I have read that's what they do to count these large bird populations.
I guess that's why I'm not tasked with this endeavor, because I would never have thought to use the photography. It seems like a no-brainer in retrospect, mm-hmm. but I just thought there was people, you know, walking around with binocs, you know, just pointing out.
You got to shoot every single bird down with a tranquilizer.
Yeah.
Every single one. And it takes a long time, because the Audubon Society, of course, being an environmental agency, they refuse to use any sort of modern dart gun. They will only use a blow dart.
Blow dart. Yeah. You got to blow all the birds in order to know how many there are. That's my understanding.
That's where you went, and I'm going to respect it. I'm going to respect it. Jeff, I have a lot of respect for you and that joke.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So these birds are growing with the population. They're figuring out where the easy pickings are. And we do know that that particularly ravens, corvids, have an incredible amount of intelligence and the ability to work together and the ability to solve puzzles and figure out complex multi-step tasks. These birds,
including faking a Costco card,
they can do it. I saw a bird with a printer.
I saw a bird fly in front of the camera just as the picture was being taken mm-hmm. for the Costco card.
And then they spliced in footage from earlier in the day.
Can't be sure, but I think it smiled.
It looked like it did. It looked like it did. Now, the only thing that's kind of interesting about this is there is this idea that birds, particularly corvids, will work together. Some of them will, we've talked about this before, sometimes they will keep lookout. Some birds will keep lookout for other birds. And if you get too close, like if you'll notice this, because we've got a lot of crows in Los Angeles. Sometimes if you walk by a group of crows in the street, you will hear a crow in a tree or somewhere in the distance.
On lookout.
It's a lookout bird.
Then look up here.
Yeah.
Look over here.
Yeah.
Look up here.
That crow is trying to distract you and let its buddies know that, I don't know, Andy Garcia is on to you. Was it Andy Garcia? I think so. So these birds, Jeff, they're doing heists. They've staked out their turf and they're doing heists.
And their turf is the Costco.
Mm-hmm. And they are stealing surf and turf from one, but you know how they have the pre-made, the surf and turf. They did take a lobster tail and a steak.
I'm guessing the bird cookout is going to be delicious. I mean, they got ribs, they got veal, they got lobster. I mean, this is some high end eating.
Can I tell you, Jeff, there's only one thing that I think can stop these birds. And that is
blow darts.
Well, blow darts, or you know, Julia Roberts walks back into their life, or like you know, any of that stuff. But above and beyond that, the only thing that could stop them is a study that has said these birds will eventually turn on one another.
Oh, like any heist.
Yeah.
There's got to be a traitor in the midst. There's a turncoat.
There has literally been studies by the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology that says sometimes these birds that we see that we think are being lookouts for other birds, no. They're
snitches.
They are looking for an opening to steal from the other birds. It's the classic double cross, Jeff.
Oh my God.
Once the birds have stolen from the other, they then begin to steal from themselves and the group falls apart from the inside. They've got a mole, not an actual mole. They're all birds.
Right, right, right. Not a mole.
Not an actual mole, but a figurative mole.
Still a bird.
Still a bird. Same kind of bird.
Yeah.
But it's a turncoat. It's a double cross. There's a heist within a heist. Just like the third act of any good Oceans movie where... I guess there was probably a 22nd person that was involved and they were actually in a different building and like a dude winks at another dude and you're like, oh, that was my third grade teacher. Like, I don't know. There's a lot
I'm pretty sure that was Andy Garcia. I think that was Andy Garcia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who turns on everybody. Doesn't he turn on everybody? He turns on everybody.
I think Andy Garcia is the bad guy in the first one.
And yeah.
Then he's
the dude that they steal from.
Yeah. He runs the Bellagio. And then in the second one, he has to join the crew and no one likes it, but they got to work together.
No one likes it.
Just like these birds, Jeff.
These birds are Andy Garcia birds.
They're Andy Garcia birds, Jeff. I love this because three things about this that I love. Number one, these birds are so smart that they know that there will be no food for foraging, only food for the taking in the winter. And there's an easy place to take it. Think about the amount of stuff you have in your Costco cart when you leave Costco.
Oh yeah.
You're distracted for entire minutes loading that thing up. And you're getting huge quantities of whatever food it is that you're getting. And it's usually wrapped. These meats, like you said, are usually just wrapped in the thin plastic. They're vacuum packed. You can easily take some.
Oh, there was definitely a scene where they're all in the room and the one bird unrolls the blueprints to the Costco and is like, listen up, everybody. You're not going to believe this. There's food. There's people being distracted for minutes at a time. There's a window of time where we could just fly in, snatch it, get away clean.
From the time she buckles that car seat to the time she turns around, you have 13 seconds.
Yeah, there's a little bird with a stopwatch who's been doing this for 6 days in a row, testing it.
There's a bird with a stopwatch looking over at a person from the Audubon Society with a clicker that's counting them all and taking pictures and is like, look, we've been made.
We got to get out of this town.
We got to get out. No, I'm telling you, it's too hot. It's too hot.
Blow the job.
So I love that they are smart enough to understand that this is going on. I also love, this is one of those stories that I love about nature adapting to us.
Yeah,
in really
for sure.
weirdly yeah. interesting ways. These birds, if that Costco closes, right, those birds right. will still come there for years. They will still wonder what happened. This is now their hunting ground. This is their winter migration.
That's wild. Yeah, this is where the abundant food supply is. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's That's pretty wild. Love it so
much. We've disrupted their natural habitat to such an extent. I mean, it's. I guess it's a grander version of, you know, don't feed the ducks at the pond, right? Because if you feed the ducks at the pond, they're going to stop knowing how to fend for themselves. Oh, so yeah. they just expect the food to be thrown at them.
You cannot give a mouse a cookie, Jeff.
No. You can't. Or a moose a muffin or any number of things.
Any of that. And then the third thing is I, of course, love any story where animals is just so smart.
Always one step ahead. The birds.
I love it. And that's why they are the consummate pranksters. Eat shit, Clooney. You thought it was you.
Oh, wow. Clooney finally getting his comeuppance.
They're better pranksters. They're better at heists.
And they would have directed Leatherheads better, quite frankly.
There were some choices that were made with Leatherheads. And, you know, a lot of people point at Krasinski, but the problem wasn't Krasinski.
No.
The problem wasn't Krasinski.
It's a directorial problem.
Yeah, and a Corvid would have known that. Yeah. Corvid would have known that.
Yeah.
Folks, we have an entire channel on our Discord server dedicated to bird pranks.
This is just the tip of the bird prank iceberg, ladies and gentlemen, and you can be a part of it. You can learn, you can contribute. All you got to do to get access to the Discord with the bird pranks channel and numerous others is give us $1 a month, $1 every 30 days. That seems ridiculously easy.
That's less than the monetary value of what a bird is going to steal from you in a month.
Yeah.
You're going to lose it anyway. You might as well give it to us.
Don't make us send our birds to take it.
Fly, my pretties. And remember that if you head to that Patreon, check it out, because there are other things you can get, including bonus episodes, bonus audio, bonus video. It's bonus after bonus after bonus, all to say thank you for enjoying the show and helping us keep it going. So head to patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.
Anthony, you played the BioShock, the original BioShock video game, did you not?
I did. I did play it.
Do you recall Andrew Ryan from the BioShock game? You
yes.
recall his grand plan?
Yes. Andrew Ryan, the Ayn Rand analog. His grand yes. plan was to build Rapture, a place for the best and the brightest, where a man would be judged by his deeds. It was the perfect meritocracy that could only be imagined by somebody who is already successful.
Yes. And in that utopian underwater city, the smartest minds, the greatest scientists came together to create technologies heretofore undiscovered.
Yeah.
To mold the next step of human evolution and human progress to save the world.
Of course. And
that was the goal.
And like any hubris, it do cometh before the fall.
Well, now my question to you here, Anthony, is what do you think was the worst part of that plan?
Injecting electricity into people to give them electric powers.
Okay.
That was right. definitely a well, bad part I, of it.
What if I proposed to you that the only problem with that plan...
Cloning little
was
girls
that it was,
to yank the psychic powers out of little girls.
Okay. All right. You know, yes, mistakes were made. I'm going to grant you that.
Making
what if I
other
told you that,
giant people that follow the little girls around that have drills for hands...
Drills for hands, you say, is a mistake.
Drills for
right.
yeah, drills for hands was definitely a bad idea. I'm honestly not convinced about underwater, and also I'm not convinced about people. I think people. Well, what if I was to suggest to you
that the only problem with this plan, according to one real life person, is that it was underwater?
Is this Elon Musk? Did I tell you? I told you to unfollow Elon Musk on Twitter. I told you.
I am not following Elon Musk on Twitter. Okay. We got an article posted in our own Discord.
Hey.
By Z Mansfield.
Hey, Z Mansfield. That back. Is
about a new real life plan proposed by a man named Aaron Oliveira, who proposes creating something that I think is very similar to what Mr. Andrew Ryan, the fictional antagonist of the BioShock series, did. But instead of doing it underwater, he's going to do it on the water. See, fixing the one problem with this plan.
No. No.
Mr. Oliveira has recently unveiled a plan that he says can be completed by 2025 to create an atomic super yacht.
Sure.
That will house 450 people, including the world's top scientists, environmentalists, and occasional billionaires.
Top minds. Top men.
To voyage across our planet's waters, oceans.
Yeah.
And be the cutting edge, world-saving climate research and development location.
These motherfuckers. The first thing, the best idea they could think of to work on saving the climate is super yacht.
It's a super yacht. Well, in his defense, Mr. Oliveira is just working with what he knows. He's been a designer, a facilitator of super yachts. He used to be the president of Royal Falcon Yachts, where he created a mega yacht project designed by Porsche.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. If anybody's going to save us, it's the guy who designs mega yachts. This is great. This is like the oil companies coming in and letting us know that the oil companies have the best idea for environmentalism. I love this. This is so cool. It's like, look, obviously we can't get rid of oil because oil is the best. So we've got to figure out, but we've got ideas that will use the oil that we make to fuel the things that we create that will save the world. This is everybody. Everybody is just like, you know, it's that if you're a carpenter, if you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? We're just like, well, if I design super yachts, then surely I can save the world with a super yacht.
I just sent you a picture of this super yacht, which is pretty wild.
Shit. How dare absolutely not with your fucking Pink Floyd album cover of a fucking boat. Your fucking rave flyer of a fucking boat. Get it out of here.
This will be called the Earth 300.
We'll see.
This is the yacht that he's proposing and he's raising funds for. It is going to be a 968 foot mega yacht.
Oh, good.
You see there is a sphere on the top of it, which is going to be 12 stories tall, this sphere.
Oh my God.
There will be no less than 1 million sensors in this mega yacht.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be entirely powered by a brand new nuclear technology called molten salt reactors. Okay. This is a technology that has been pioneered by a company called TerraPower that has been set up by Bill Gates. It is also going to have a quantum computer on it. Mm-hmm. Neither a quantum computer nor a molten salt reactor have ever been put on a ship before. He says we will need an extreme level of engineering to get to that stage. It will essentially be built as a floating computer with a million sensors.
How do you think you're the good guy? How do you think you're the good guy when you're clearly when you're clearly building an evil villain super base in the middle of the ocean in international waters. How dare you think you're the good guy? Can I tell you something, Jeff? He can call this a mega yacht. He can call this a mega yacht. But here's, but just so we all understand what we're talking about size-wise, the largest cruise ship in the world, cruise ships, which are the most, some of the most environmentally disastrous things we have, just pollution engines, okay?
Right.
Just engines of destruction. The largest cruise ship in the world is 1,188 feet long. This is the size of an incredibly large cruise ship.
Well, smaller than that. It's at least 100 feet shorter than that.
I don't want to hear about your quantum computer, and I don't want to hear about your salt reactor. Who are these great minds? Who are these great minds?
Well, all right. Well, I'm gonna get to that, but I just want to point out to you that the entire point of it having a molten salt reactor on board is that it will be zero emission. So at least your point about these being massive pollutants, he's attempting to combat that. The whole point of this, of the Earth 300 project, is to combat global climate change, to bring together the greatest minds in one location with the best technology to be able to go anywhere on the planet to address climate change. In fact, the reason this thing looks so unique is that he tasked this, I think, Brazilian designer to create something that would be a visual emblem to galvanize people around the idea of fighting global climate change. He describes it as the Eiffel Tower of climate change. So you see this image and you immediately know what it means. It means we are fighting global climate change.
Okay. Now, molten salt reactors and aircraft, like molten salt reactors and these kind of alternative nuclear reactors, they say that they have zero emissions, and they're talking in terms of classic emissions, right? But they do use like enrichment levels that are the same as nuclear weapons. If something goes wrong on this reactor, which, by the way, molten salt reactors, highly corrosive because you're working with incredibly like highly concentrated fucking molten salt. So it's one of like the most corrosive substances that you've got. If something goes wrong, it's very, very bad. It's extremely bad.
I would refer you back to the BioShock example and say, what could possibly go wrong? You know, just saying.
Okay. All right.
So here's the way he wants to fund this thing. Obviously, he's raising capital to build this thing. It's going to cost $500 million to build it.
Are they going to have unlimited soft serve?
I think so, actually. I think there's going to be some sweet-ass soft serve every cruise on the ship 13th has, story of that sphere.
Yeah, every cruise ship has the good unlimited soft serve.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love the soft serve. He's also going to offer 10-day cruises for $3 million apiece. So billionaires and the uber wealthy will be allowed to rent out rooms, these VIP suites. There's going to be 20 VIP suites, 10 of which will be sold at $3 million a pop.
Man, nothing saves the world faster than a fucking VIP suite full of millionaires.
And 10 of the VIP suites will be given away free to deserving scientists, students. He said there are going to be a large student population because he says the next generation is the one that's going to climb us out of the climate change problem. Sounds like he's trying to have his head in the right place on this. I understand your
I don't fucking trust it, dude.
Skepticism.
I don't fucking trust it, dude. It's all good.
There's going to be built-in artificial intelligence, robotics, machine learning, real-time data processing.
Dude, this is gonna going end up like the fucking McDonald's barge. 20, 30 years from now, this is like Epcot Center, or like one of the fucking one of those fucking places along like the interstate that says come see the home of the future. You know, like
it's going to be 22 laboratories inside. Sure. All of the data it collects is going to be open source and shared with climate scientists.
Why do they need this shit?
Zero emission. I think he describes it as having twofold purpose. The one is to be a symbol, a thing that you can
sure.
hold up and say, here's this beautiful creation that's sailing the earth, attempting to save climate change. He wants it to be this
sure.
galvanizing force. And secondly, he wants literally to bring the best and the brightest to a place to work on this problem where they have the best tools that they could possibly get their hands on all together in the same place.
See, my thing is, something tells me there already is a place like this, and all the best climate scientists do go there to work on their projects, and it's just not his giant $500 million boat. Do you know what I mean? This sounds like a guy who doesn't know much about what's going on in climate science, that has a lot of great ideas and understands a lot about smart home technology and boat technology from making very, very big boat for very wealthy people. And also maybe it sounds like feels a little guilty for building these boats his entire life. Do you know what I mean?
He said he got the idea when he went on a dive and went down to a coral reef and saw that it was dying.
Oh shit. And he thought to himself, oh, my boat did that.
I maybe did that a little bit. The boats that I built. Yeah.
Whoops.
Oops,
I did that when I put a helipad on the fucking Flying Fox, which, by the way, Jeff Bezos, you can keep saying the Flying Fox isn't your mega yacht, but we know it is. We know it is.
I think this is cool, Anthony. I know you're scoffing, but I think this could be the kind of thing that could make an impact. I think
who chooses who these best people are?
Well, I suppose this gentleman and his company
do. What
the
fuck does he know? Who's he hiring? Who's he hiring to make sure that this is going to work? Here's the thing. This is a guy who wants to build a fancy yacht, who's talking about all the good that's going to be done, when what he needed to do was hire somebody that could explain better how they were going to pick the people in the experiments. I'm not worried about him being able to build a boat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I bet this guy can build a boat. Seems like he builds boats. I want to know what the fuck he is doing to make sure he is actually picking the correct experiments, and to make sure he's actually picking the best and the brightest, and to make sure he's not just building some fucking ocean bound literal Epcot Center resort hotel where they play at science while millionaires and billionaires watch.
That does seem to be a potential for this thing, that it becomes a parody of itself, where, you know, you get billionaires spending $3 million. Oh, I'm sure they have jumpsuits, dude. I'm sure the jumpsuits are complimentary.
I bet they're dope.
Yeah, I bet they're both complimentary and complimentary. You know what I'm saying?
Both.
I bet they compliment your figure and are for free.
Both spellings. That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good. Yeah, I bet they are. I bet they're going to have the dopest jumpsuits, or maybe we'll have those cool, like Nehru jacket looking things that scientists always wear in future movies, you know, with the collar that just stands up a little bit. And like,
I love that collar.
Fuck, I love that collar, dude. You can't wear that collar anywhere except the future or in a laboratory.
Yeah. I described that collar in the dungeon run for a group of wizards that I just like. I think that collar makes you cool.
It's a scholarly collar.
It is a scholar collar. Yeah.
It's the collar of scholars. And I feel like you could try to wear that out. It's not going to work for you. You know, there's like,
people are like,
you know, that period of time in your 20s when everybody is sort of getting married, and like you're in your 20s and 30s there's like a run of marriages that's happening.
There's
like that one guy who will wear a jacket like that to the wedding, and everybody's like, not pulling it off.
Too much, pal.
Yeah, not pulling it off.
Too much.
But if you were standing, and this is the only thing that I think is worthwhile about this project, is if I was standing on a $500 million laboratory of the future, this is like when I go to the Star Wars hotel and there's going to be like a costume waiting for you, you know,
Yeah, exactly.
As long as you're in the Star Wars area, you can wear it and look cool and feel cool.
Yeah.
You know, but then the moment you leave that area, it's like you're going to want to leave that costume like on the bed. Because if you're just going out in Orlando to like a Red Lobster for family dinner.
Yeah.
People are going to look at you like.
Don't wear that costume on the Jungle Cruise.
No.
You know what I'm saying? It's not going to work.
You're going to be out of place. Yeah. So I think for the sake of jumpsuits, I'm with this guy, but for everything else, I'm against.
I probably should have led with the jumpsuits.
Oh, always lead with jumpsuits.
I feel like it would have gotten you on board faster, you know?
It definitely would have. I want to order a jumpsuit. I know jumpsuits got very in and fashionable for, I'm sorry to take this to jumpsuits, but jumpsuits are important.
Yeah.
I know jumpsuits got very fashionable for women in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Is this a gender neutral or non-gender, like non-binary thing? Is this a pan-gender thing?
I can't imagine it wouldn't be. You know who wore a jumpsuit? Who wore the fuck out of a jumpsuit? Who? My grandpa. On my mom's side, my grandfather, in his late advanced age, before he died, for like the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 years before he died, I never saw him not in a jumpsuit. Well, he just didn't give any more fucks. You know, he just wore jumpsuits all the time.
Yeah. You gotta get a career into science or wait for retirement.
Yeah.
Do you know what my biggest problem is with jumpsuits?
Sizing? How do you size them? I don't know.
Oh, they're just whatever, man. That's the great thing about a jumpsuit. But the biggest problem with them is like if you're wearing a jumpsuit and then all you've got under the jumpsuit is like boxers, it feels weird.
Yeah.
It feels very naked.
Does it feel weird?
It feels very naked. Because think about
maybe
it, it's loose.
Maybe that's a plus.
I think it is a plus. I think once you get used to
it. I'm a guess for my grandpa, it was a big plus.
Yeah.
You don't know him, but it was probably a plus.
I think it's probably, once you get used to it, it's probably very freeing. But I think there's a moment of time of getting used to that feeling of near nudity in public that I think would be a little odd.
Yeah.
But I guess, and then imagine being on the open sea.
Now you're with
the windshield
behind, you're shoulder to shoulder, shoulder with other scientists, each concerned about global climate change.
Not.
You feel like you're
pretending that you are, you're just rich and you want to walk around,
but you're both near nude under your jumpsuit.
Oh, no, Jeff,
maybe, you make an observation about global climate change and you look up and you see into the eyes of the scientist across from you in their jumpsuit
and they push you
in the shadow of the giant
because they warned you that you were both married happily and that your advances were unwanted. This is a work trip.
But I don't know if you know this, but in the open sea, all rules are off.
It's true. In international waters, you're no longer married.
Anything goes.
That's why couples always go on cruises together. Cause if only one of them goes.
Yeah. You never know.
That's
could happen.
6 days unmarried.
Which is also our new Matthew McConaughey comedy.
There it is.
6 days unmarried.
There it is.
Matthew McConaughey.
I literally was thinking the same thing. You know what? I've been giving you shit all episode, but now finally, that we're wrapping it up, we're on the same wavelength. All it took was a quick hour to get on the same wavelength.
All it took was a extended discussion of jumpsuits, and
we got there, baby. I don't know. You're obviously very pro this thing.
I think this is cool. I think like. Clearly, this dude works in a very specific industry and went, how can my industry help this big problem? I respect that, right? He's not going to like, maybe it's not the most direct route to helping climate change, but he went, what can I do with my skill set to work on this big global problem? I totally respect that. And I think more people should do that. I think we're in this problem and we got to figure our way out of it.
I think it would be better to sort of maybe look at your plan and think about Occam's razor and be like, well, maybe I could just convince the mega yacht company that I work for, where people buy these $500 million yachts, to donate 0.005% of every mega yacht sale to a nonprofit that would distribute grants to climate scientists. I don't know.
Maybe I could, the $500 million I'm raising to build this yacht maybe could be used in some other way, is what you're suggesting?
What I'm saying, Jeff, is you could just take pictures of the birds and then count the birds in the pictures.
Touche.
I don't know. How do the concerned citizens feel about this? You should let us know. Is this a shining? Is this the Starship Enterprise, or is this, you know, fucking
Epcot Center?
Yeah, is this Epcot Center? Is this Rapture? You can let us know on Twitter. I'm at A Carboni.
I'm at Jeff Cannata.
Another great place to discuss this and every episode, along with a million other wonderful topics with fellow concerned individuals, is on our Discord. If you want membership to that Discord, just head to our Patreon, patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. And for just $1 or more a month, you can get access to that Patreon, to that Discord, and a bunch of other extras just for watching and enjoying the show.
We'd appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you next time.
I'm going to buy a jumpsuit, like maybe right now.
Go to jumpsuit.com. See what you can find.
I want like a cool one. Like, because I know.
You find a cool one at jumpsuit.com?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's too easy, but maybe.